Good morning. This is day 114 of my revival talks. Remember, we're going to about 1,000, right? So we got a few more to do. So this past weekend, I took a student of mine up to Dawsonville. This is the second time I've done that. Georgia, to the North Georgia Revival. Pretty incredible. You know, you always wonder when you go back to a place like, I remember years ago, a few years back, going back to Bethel and Reading and having not been there for a long time, thinking, I wonder if they still have the same awe and wonder factor in terms of what God's doing. Talking about people that see God move every day. And, you know, in your mind, you would think, well, they probably get bored with it or whatever. Not at all. Same thing here, except that things have kicked up a few notches. It's amazing to walk into the building. You know, there is an impartation. I think there's something that happens when you just get into that atmosphere. But, you know, coming into that building and just kind of the whole baptism revival thing is like really it's exploded and it's gone up a few notches in terms of what people experience. I know in terms of what I've experienced, that was my fourth trip. So amazing time. Interesting. They had Schatzline. Now I'm not going to be able to think of his name, but I will in a second. He preached that night and he talked about fire baptism. And so literally in the room, and it was so powerful. Fire was in that sanctuary. And I remember at one point, because I kept thinking these breezes would be coming by like a wind. And I'd be looking around, looking at the AC vents and looking at like, okay, there's nothing in this system here that kind of indicates that we should be having gusts of wind coming in. And then during worship, the student I took, he noticed it too. We looked up and it was like there was almost like smoke in the room, light cloud all the way through, and the smell of fire. Some people smelt that smell of something burning like that, not burning in a bad way. It was just so incredible to see. It's the thing that we're missing. We've grown up in church and we've done proclamation our whole life, but we haven't seen demonstration. And so when you actually see the demonstration of power of God in the room, when the wind comes in, the smoke is there, you know, it's hazy in that, and you know, a lot of parts of that room, and it's like, and you feel fire fall, and all of this in response to the word being preached. It's like, this is the way that this is supposed to work. Proclamation, demonstration. And because we've gotten so far from the demonstration, a generation has really not had much of an encounter at all with heaven. They've heard a lot. And all they've really heard is something that they feel like is an angry God who just wants them to behave. And it's so far from that. It is really a love revolution. All the things that, let me go turn this light on. You guys can look at my dental work. You know, the expectation, you know, in that water, you know, every time I go, I think, well, you know, I know what this is going to feel like. I know this, you know, not even remotely the same. I remember as we got into the hall, you know, the whole setup is incredible because there's people praying for you everywhere. There are rooms of intercessors that you don't see. And there's people interceding all around the pools. And as we were coming up to the pool, as soon as we got to the part where you get to go up the stairs, you could feel fire. And so there's fire. We're starting to feel waves of fire. And then when you get into the actual stairwell, there are people stationed everywhere that are actually praying for you. And there's this one gentleman that I see every time who's like, he's just a walking habitation. He's fire on steroids. And he grabbed my student and just started like praying into him. And he had fire all through his back and all through his, like he started manifesting in Holy Spirit. It was crazy, just praying into him. And I, you know, you see a congregation, you see an outpouring where people are listening to God and following the Holy Spirit. It's not just, it doesn't feel like, you know, something random is just happening. It's literally like God is inhabiting. And then you get to see and you get to encounter what you encounter through the people and the water. Every time we go, we get the opportunity to go backstage for that prayer and communion before the service, which is always amazing because you can feel the atmosphere really begin to thicken. And I've been back there a couple times and it was like this very holy awe is like over. You could feel the holiness of God like just hovering over the place because you know that what's happening in that water is holy. And when we got, after we were in that line for a while, as you got closer to the water, it was just like you could feel the fire of God there. And then the minute that we put our feet in the water, I know for my student, it was like fire just shot through his body. It's like liquid fire in the water that releases fire in you. It's like fire everywhere. Like the fire of God and the glory of God is just there so strong. And when we got, you know, we were getting pretty rocked in line. Like we were almost like, well, the guy that was praying for my student, like started, we got hit with joy. And then we were like, you know, got hit with that too, of course. And then we had to settle down so that people could hear out front. No, we weren't being bad. But it was just all the things that you begin to encounter of God. It's like you're walking into this encounter with the living God. And there's like so many facets to it that you can't even like fathom all of them. You don't really know all of what's happening. You just know that because you showed up and because you're there in that atmosphere, God's doing a whole lot. And we'll probably discover more of what he's doing after the fact as we walk through and continue in our journey here. But I think it was also just really, really powerful for this particular student. And I'll say a little bit about him from this standpoint. You know, I've said that in the 10 years of Bible Lit, I've taught here at this school and been here 13, taught Bible Lit, you know, 10 of those years. I could really count on one hand the number of students who left here on fire for Jesus. I mean, they were going to be a culture changer. And I think that's one of the things that makes a difference because, you know, there was a temptation, I think, to invite several, you know, people, et cetera. But the ones that I feel like benefit the most when they go to Dawsonville are people who are sold out. They're not holding anything back. And if there's anything there, it's going to get left at the bottom of that pool. You know, they're going to leave it there. In other words, people come in desperation and all they really want is more. And, you know, sometimes people worry about the three questions you're going to get asked. You know, what's your name? Where are you from? And why are you in the water today? And with the students this time and previous, I just basically said, you know what? Don't worry about that part because whatever flies out of your mouth when the fire of God is hitting you will probably be a good thing. And that'll be all you need to say. And so when it came to time for like my student to get baptized, it was powerful. And my wife says this all the time, and I'll say it too. You know, Marty Derricotte is like one of our heroes. You know, she sees him as a hero of the faith, the man who's in that water for hours and hours and also travels, like Todd and the rest of the team, travel all during the week, come in and do revival. Sorry, lights. Come in and do a revival every Sunday night. So it's not like this is the only thing that's going on. You know, they've already traveled the entire weekend and poured out in various locations. And there were people there last night or Sunday night from Korea, where they just had gone, where they just went to Korea. You had people from Sweden. I mean, different people from around the world, around the United States. This is, I mean, it's so... I was telling Todd later that it is so reminiscent in many ways of what we've seen in terms of revival, but it's also very different. It's reminiscent in the sense that, you know, most of the big revivals that went on for a significant time, like Toronto and Brownsville, they were a fire hub. And there is a gathering of nations and people who come to the hub and they take something with them, and then it scatters. And that's where I think the real power multiplies is in the scattering. Because what people are taking back to their desperate churches, back to their desperate cities and families, et cetera, is the part that begins to make it change our culture. It's when revival moves from the church into the world and into the workplace that the culture begins to change. And I think that's, it's always a powerful kind of aspect to that. Some of the things that are just profoundly unique, like this time in the water, literally it felt like the thing that you asked Jesus for, you got. My wife loves the verse, everyone who asks receives. And it's like what you're asking him for in that water, you're gonna receive. And Marty powerfully ministers, and I've seen such an increase. Like, you know, in our church in Brunswick, you know, we're very prophetic and as a group of people, and so we'll spend a lot of time with each person. But when you're doing like the Dawsonville, you know, scene where you're doing like, you know, what, 100, 200 baptisms in one night, you know, they're more, the words of knowledge and the prophetic pictures and things have to be more poignant. They have to be quick. They have to be something that is got, you know, that's loaded and short. You know, so there's no room for prophetic diarrhea, as I call it, which is what a lot of us do when we're trying to find the thing God's on, right? And so he hit, out of his mouth came the words that addressed this young man's entire past in a moment. And you could see the fire of God come, the break inside that was just beautiful, and the pain there. And then he began to tell him who he was. The fun thing about that kind of prophetic is, you know, it's always incredible to me when somebody who doesn't know you at all comes and like hits you square between the eyeballs with a word that makes so much sense and that kind of nails every part of your life. And that's what came next, just to seeing who this person was as a preacher, as a revivalist, as called to the nations, you know, called to bring people out of pits and moving and just great power. You know, sent to the generation, called to the generation. And this young man is 17 years old and a senior in high school. I haven't seen anything like that. And so what I was saying before, I think when you come to Dawsonville, number one, with expectation, and number two, with the fact that you've already chosen to lay it all down. I don't care what it looks like. I'll let you do what you want to do. Everything I've been trying to protect in my heart and my life, I'm putting it on the altar. When we get to that place where it's like, you know what? All I want is what God wants. I just want to see his face. I just want what he wants. And I see that as a hunger that is like across the country in many places. And people I talk to, you know, people who have had great success in the world, even, you know, even in music, etc. All of a sudden, it's like all of that is meaningless. It's all meaningless. It means nothing. And so when you see that, when everything in life is meaningless except Jesus Christ, it's like, I can't, it's just like overwhelming. And so, you know, when my student went into the water, it came out like a very common experience has been that people don't know where they are. It's like literally other dimensional. And when it's other dimensional like that, it's like you really do feel like you entered into a dimension other than the one you're seeing with your eyes. The unseen real becomes so tangible and real. You're so aware of the angelic activity in the room, like you know that's what's going on. And I think one very interesting thing that my student said was this: everything that got brought up, even the pain of a past and the things that had happened, because everybody's bringing all of that into that water. You know, we bring the things that have happened in the past, the things that have defined us in many ways, that have attempted to destroy our identity, destroy our capacity for love, all of those things. It's like the enemy's perfect storm gets dismantled in the water, period. It gets completely dismantled. So the pain that he felt at the beginning when he came out of the water, that part was gone and other things had been put in. That was what was so powerful for me to actually see. Going into the water and literally leaving everything in there. We have never needed more than that a generation who will be healed by God in an encounter. We're not in the era anymore where we can do, not any of these things are all good, but when you look at a generation and you look at a multi-billion soul harvest, we don't have time for 900 hours of counseling and 35,000 inner healing sessions. There is something that God is going to do suddenly in a generation, and he's going to remove the wounds and things of the past, like every single chain that has kept them bound in any capacity is coming off. And I think for me, that's one of the most impressive things that I've seen so far, like, and just the wonder with God, is that people are getting literally transformed in a moment. Literally everything they bought with them. At one point, Todd put on a screen a girl that came to, I think it was in Alabama, and everything, this was her list on the screen, a note that she had given him. Prostitution, PTSD, bisexuality, alcoholism, drugs. I mean, if you had to brainstorm something that could happen that would be traumatic and you came up with a huge list, pretty much everything on the list was hers. She had the whole list. Went into that water and came out a completely new creation. Everything wiped away. And like I said, even with this dude, that was the part that I really felt like was so impacting for me. Because it's been a cry of my heart and it's been a thing for the generation, you know. I know I'm called, my wife and I are called to the generation. And so when you look at what has to happen, in order for them to come into their place in Jesus and to step into their identity and step into who they are and walk as manifest sons and daughters of God and come out of their orphanhood and everything else, it can look overwhelming. In fact, that's why most, you know, people write off a generation because they're looking at what they can see. What they're not looking at is one encounter in the presence of Jesus, in the context of a revival that is going all over the world and will continue till the end of the day, and what God is doing in it, when one encounter can change everything, that's powerful, which means that we have a generation that's going to go from being fully steeped and chained into liberty, like the demoniac who went to the 10 cities. He didn't go through proper ministry school training or seminary. He got delivered, the chains fell off, and he went straight into what we would call today his ministry, preaching in all of the cities. Because what was he preaching? Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. He was preaching about the power of the cross. It was the only words that he had to carry, was the power of the cross. And his encounter with the power of the cross, where the word and the spirit and the encounter were married in truth inside of him, a truth that was formed inside of him, that's what he carried. And that's why we have to have the encounter, and a generation has to have the encounter. Because those two married, we are the message. We are the sum total of everything that God has deposited in us, done through us, everything that he has done and given. We are the sum total of that. So your story is, like my little gymnastics for lights, your story is powerful. And that's what one demoniac armed with went. This is what Jesus did for me. It's so profoundly simple. And the simple is going to become the norm when it comes to deliverance in this generation. And just like the student that I went, who was already lit, but willing to lay it all down and just said, I want more for my generation. I want to be able to be that conduit, walked away with everything left at the bottom. And it was so fun just to hear him describe it that way. And the most impacting statement that Marty made in his eyes, the student's eyes, was, why not you? Why not you? The words, why not you, removed every barrier to the call, every doubt about the call, he already told him who he was, you know, this is like prophet to the nations, you know, Jeremiah 1:5, but everything that would have been a barrier to kind of, you know, kind of receiving and really knowing that you know what you were created for, got removed by the words, why not you? In other words, it's a whosoever will. It's a whosoever will era and generation of people that God is raising up, whosoever will. The least of these are the ones that are in the front of the line, because the least of these are the ones who are so ready to have something transformative in their life that they want the thing, the one thing that God is on. And they will walk in their destiny as manifest sons and daughters of God, confounding the world, confounding everything, being the ones who are weak, the least of these, all of the things that we think are wrong that disqualify us, is that's what got removed when why not you? All the disqualifications that we put on ourselves. The qualification is not degrees or training or seminary or any of that. The qualification in this era is my encounter with Jesus. My encounter with Jesus is the only qualification I need. God may have us do things, get education, do different things for his purpose, but none of that amounts to a hill of garbage, because none of that will open up kingdom doors in the way that favor from heaven does. It's not what we've done. It's not what we've earned. It's not what we've studied that opens doors in this era. It is called extreme favor. Extreme favor. And favor puts us in front of people we could never be in front of, and does things and opens things that we could not open on our own. So I'll just leave you with that it was exceedingly abundantly beyond all I can, what I could imagine. And if you haven't been to the source of really the revival that's going on across our country and going around the world at this point, it is definitely a worthwhile trip. And there is increase and increase and increase on what's happening. And that's not going to change. It's only going to get better. It's going to go deeper and wider. And it's all about the simplicity of the encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all.